kitchen fair. I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Fireside Chat with David James. I don't know, I've been thinking how interesting so many things are. For instance, I was thinking about merchants and people that I know that are merchants. It's in their blood to be like the Jew. I don't know if it's greed so much as it's in the blood. It's a poisoning of sorts. The merchant type of fellow seems to always want to try to pay less and make more. Wants to see how much they can get for free. And when they can't get it for free, it makes them very angry. They have plenty of money, many of these types, but still ever trying to make more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And when you have one foot in Babylon and one foot in the kingdom, it is a conundrum of its own. It's very interesting to see these things, but not very good tasting to the mouth, so to speak. It's a strange world, I'm telling you. It's getting stranger by the day. I cannot believe how many people are cucking for the Jews worldwide. I can't believe that people cannot awaken. It's like I said before, there are certain generations that the Father has cursed. And it really does make me wonder if this particular, the boomers and these couple of generations, I wonder if it's they're cursed not to be able to see or know the truth. Now, there are some in every generation that will, of course, but the bulk of them. If I remember correctly, and I do, when I was teaching about the time of Noah and this and that, or Enoch would teach all the people, and there would be a great generation of people that obeyed the Father and this and that. And the very next generation, could be an evil generation that went back. I don't know what this is with generations, but you know how the Who sings My Generation? Well, every generation that comes up seems to want to be different than the last generation. Somebody puts this idea in their heads that we can't be like our parents, or they don't fit what we are all about. There is a youthful rebellion, and the youth are susceptible to this rebellion. And it's odd. We know where rebellion comes from. We know that the ideas are spread, and we can see that it spreads like wildfire. And it can really damage a whole generation. There'll always be those that will do the right thing and obey the Father. But there'll always be, in these new generations, new rebels. What's interesting about the newest generation, or the one previous, they seem to not care about the Holocaust, which is a very good sign. They seem to like to give Sieg Heils, which I like that. I really do. I think it's, if they can make it through, maybe they can change all of what's going on right now. When I told you about the mixed multitude coming out of Egypt with the Israelites, I'm telling you, that really was bothering me. I was saying, why would the Father allow that? But when I got the answer that he was bringing the test with the Israelites, and they caused a lot of problems, it all makes sense to me. It all makes sense that we're going through this test right now, and the test seems to be getting harder as time goes on, because there's too much failure on our part. It does talk about a great falling away that would happen, though, in the end times. Didn't it say that? And doesn't it say that? Yes, it does. The great falling away. See, the advice that is given in the Proverbs is to listen to your mother and dad, to obey them in the same way you obey Yahweh. And it was promised that it would bring you long life. Well, this generation that the Who was talking about said, hope I die before I get old. Pretty interesting, isn't it? This is my generation. My generation, baby. Right? And this generation hopes they die. They want to live fast and die fast. When Keith Moon from The Who lived the way he lived, he used up all of his life. See, if you live fast, you'll die young. And he got that hope that they were talking about, my generation. He died before he got old. And so did John Entwistle. And when Keith Moon would live fast. He tried to repent right near the end of his life and was looking like things might go right for him, but his body had just been through too much. And so even though he stopped doing some things, it was over. It's like people that get angry. There's different types of personalities and all these things. And I know I had to deal with anger when I was younger. And in anger, I would break things, you know, when I got angry. And I had to train myself out of it. I didn't have to go to any psychiatrists. I didn't have to do anything. I had to just use my brains and say, listen, this is, it seems that anger and destruction seem to be they go together. They're brothers, anger and destruction. And I keep busting up my things, and I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? And so I trained myself out of it. It was very easy, and it didn't take long at all. Anytime I thought of breaking something, I just said, take a few breaths and think for a second. And then I just put the thing down and said, that's that. And then after a while, I realized that anger was a habit. And so I begin to break the habit. And this is the way it is with all habits. Many people love to claim that they have habits that can't be broken. It's their habit. Just like a lot of folks like to say, I have this sickness, and they want to claim it as their own. It's like they agree to it. They say, that's mine. I want that. I have that, and it's one of my crutches. I live on it. But you see, it doesn't have to be that way. It's the fact that you claimed it could be the very reason why you have it. So my point of the anger thing was, it's another way of living fast and dying fast. If you're quick to anger, you could get yourself in a pile of mess, a big mess, and never get yourself. This is what happens to the Negers. N-E-G-E-R, the Negers. You know who they are, don't you? And so if you have these problems, you can train yourself out of them very easily. You don't need to go to any doctors. You don't need any medications. You just need to think about things. You know why I was saying about anger? There are people quick to anger. They're very emotional, too emotional. Remember when Sarah died, how emotional she was. When the devil told her first that they had sacrificed Isaac, she went to the lowest of the low. And then when she was at that point, the devil knew what he could do. And he came back and he said, oh, I lied to you. He said, I lied to you. The devil told her, he lied to her. And he said, Isaac's still alive. And she went from bottom to top too quickly. She lived too fast. And she perished because of it. I think one little problem with Sarah was that I think she loved Isaac more than she loved the father. But only the father knows that. It's like she worshipped her son. And her love was very great for her son. Something I've never known, and maybe many of you have never known, and never will. But we love the father that way, though, the way she loved her son. at least I know that I and a few people and myself do feel about the Father that way and do love the Father. We don't love him with words, just words. We love him. Our hearts are near him. So the people that seem to live the longest are the people that are of medium temperament. You see, they're not too hot. They're not too cold. They're just right in the middle. They don't get upset over almost anything. Patience would be a wonderful thing to... That's what temperance would be, I believe. Let's look up the word patience. We all know what it means, but let's just see what it's, you know, patience, what all goes with it. Let's see. Because it's one of the virtues of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, patience. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. The sentence they use is, you can find bargains if you have the patience to sit through the dross. The British form of patience, any one of of various forms of card games for one player, the object of which is to use up all one's cards by forming particular arrangements and sequences, and solitaire would be that game. Now, some of the synonyms for patience are forbearance, tolerance, restraint, self-restraint, resignation, stoicism, fortitude, sufferance, endurance, calmness, composure, even temper, even temperedness. Remember what I said, right? Equanimity. That's a different one. Equanimity. I've never heard that word before. There's a fellow out there that's going to tell me how ignorant I am because I've never heard of that word before. Equilibrium, serenity, tranquility. Here's another one. Imperturbability. Wow, that's a big one. Unexcitability, understanding, indulgence, lenience, kindness, consideration. And this is, you know, very interesting. Perseverance, persistence, endurance again, tenacity, diligence. These are all good attributes. And if you have these attributes, you will live longer. Some people could blow their top and end up with a stroke or a heart attack because that's how they are. Some people could blow up in anger and kill somebody. You get the idea. So anger can be something that harms the body. The Bible tells us, the scriptures tell us, to not be quick to anger. If patience is one of... I want to teach on the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit, and I've been thinking about it for quite some time. It just dawns on me now. I could have done that right now, but we don't have the time for all that right now. But patience is one of them. And it's important. The thing is we've been given this patience. It's part of the way we're the offspring of the Father. Yahweh, and he's very patient, as you know. He has all good attributes. And what's interesting about it is we have it too. But somehow the world teaches us to be impatient. It dares you to do it. And your flesh can get in the way of things too. So it's an interesting thing when you think about it. But you'd be much better off calming the storm, you know, calming the storm, quelling the storm. And it will pay with longevity. I've seen so many things in this world, so much anger, that after a while you don't even respond to it anymore because you've been accustomed to it. The world teaches you to be angry because the world is angry. The world is in rebellion. When people are in rebellion, they will be angry. Now, that's not the only reason people get angry. For instance, I was speaking with someone yesterday about the fact that women were told that they were to be under the man. And that was the... Now, it wasn't that way before Eve did what she did, but that was part of the judgment that Yahweh had given. And so the world, the Jewish world, the devil-ridden world, with his offspring, they are encouraging women to be in rebellion to Yahweh. And, of course, the women get mad. There are women that get mad at me. There are women that understand totally. So it just depends on which woman you're talking about. But you see, if you're a woman and you're in charge of men, or you wish to be in charge of men, and you want to be equal with men, and you accept these lies and positions in life, you are in direct disobedience to the Heavenly Father. You are in rebellion. And I'll prove to you that when you're in rebellion, that you're full of anger and that you are living a miserable life when you are not in the place that the Father designed you to be. Because you can't be at peace and be in rebellion to the Father. Just like you can't be at peace and be in rebellion to your parents. And so, when you see the feminists, the Jewesses have taught them to hate men. You see, what happens is, when they wish to be equal with men, or wish to be, they don't really want to just be equal, they really just want to be over man. They place these women through this lure of, you see, it's the same thing as godhood. It's the same thing as the garden, if you really think about it. See, Eve already had the attributes of God. She already had eternal life, just like Adam had eternal life. And she had the Shekinah glory, the light on her body. And the devil, she didn't know it, you see. And the devil, or the angel, same thing. It came to her and it promised her she could be a god. She already was. There was no reason to try to get any higher. She was at the height. Or as some people say, the height. Very interesting, isn't it? But this is the same thing. You see, these feminists tell these women, and these companies tell these women, you can be higher than man. You can be over him. Or some say you can be equal to him. They fight for equal pay and equality. And they're declaring their rights. When they declare their rights, these women, they're declaring them to the Heavenly Father, because the Heavenly Father's judgment says, no, 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 no. You are under the man. And they say, oh, yes, 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 yes. We're over the man. And we're equal to the man, and we can do more than he can. Listen, they've been touting this nonsense for a very long time. When I watch old cowboy films and things like that, there are women that say, I can do anything a man can do, and I can do it just as well or better. When these feminists get these women to do this, these women aren't happy in their accomplishment, in their becoming where they believe they're over men. They're very miserable and very angry and very hateful and spiteful. It brings the spirit of bitterness to the soul. It offends the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was there in the first place. So the Holy Spirit would not stay there. Rebellion. Let's look up the word rebellion. We know what it means, but let's just see. An act of violent or open resistance to an established government or ruler. You get it? Remember Saul Alinsky giving props to his father, the devil? Remember he said this is to the first rebel who rebelled against the establishment? And of course, I told you that that establishment is of the heavenly realm. And the offspring of the devil rebel against the earthly establishment of the kingdom of heaven, the Israelite nations, the white nations. An act of violent or open resistance to an established government or ruler. The established government would be the earthly kingdoms, and the ruler would be Yahweh himself. These women are violent. And these women openly resist for all to see and teach other women to do the same thing. Now listen, a lot of this rebellion in these old cowboy movies that I'm looking at and series and different things to see how what was being taught in them, many of them would have a rebellious woman that would dress like a man, act like a man, talk like a man, shoot like a man, drink like a man. And the reason why many of our women are so heavy today is because they also eat like a man. See, they think they're equal with a man, and so they eat as much as a man eats, when in reality, their bodies aren't designed to eat what a man eats. I know that this hurts women, but this is what it's, you know, I just have to tell it the way it is. Be mad at the Father. I really just be mad at me. It's okay. But, you know, he's the one that puts you in the place that he wants you to be in. I'm just telling you about it. Really don't be mad at him. You can be mad at me if you wish. I'll take the heat. See, these women are angry because they're in rebellion. They're miserable because they're in rebellion. They probably eat a lot because they're in rebellion and they're miserable. And the only thing that they can get any comfort from, instead of getting it from the man and the Father in heaven and so on and so forth, and his word, is they go to a substitute, like food. Let's look at some of the synonyms of rebellion. Uprising. Do you see any uprisings in the world today? Do you? Revolt. Insurrection. Mutiny. You see, women, when you are rebelling against the Father, you are mutinous. You are committing a mutiny. You are against the Father. And you can pretend you don't believe in Him, but you do. Ha ha. Guess what I just noticed about this word? The way they did this, it reveals something. They did it like this. R-E, and then they put a dot in the middle. Then it's B-E-L. Then they put a dot, and then the word lion. So re-bel, the god Bel, Baal. Yes, Bel is Baal. Re-bel, lion. Hello. Very interesting. Let's continue. Revolution. Is Bernie trying to cause a revolution in America, for a communist revolution? He says so. His dream is to be one of these revolutionaries like Castro or some of the South American revolutionaries. He hates America, and he want, which is the establishment, the earthly establishment, the earthly kingdoms of the children of Yahweh. He doesn't want to do this in Israel. He doesn't want to do this in Uganda. He doesn't want to do this in South America. Bernie wants to do this here in America. He's trying to cause an uprising, a mutiny, a revolution, an insurgence, an insurgency, a rising, a rioting. Civil disobedience. Do we see civil disobedience today? Do we see unrest? Do we see civil disorder? Anarchy? Fighting in the streets? These are all synonyms of rebellion. A coup? He's trying to cause a coup, isn't he? And so are the rest of the communists from our government. Regime change. Coup d'etat. Coup d'etat. Jacquery, putsch, P-U-T-S-C-H. The troops were sent into an area to suppress the rebellion. The action or process of resisting authority, control, or convention. The act of teenage rebellion. Synonyms, again, defiance. Disobedience. That's what's happening, women, when you're going against the Father and claiming you have rights to be equal with man or to be over man. You are in disobedience and you are defying the Father. You're full of rebelliousness, insubordination, mutinousness, subversion, subversiveness, resistance, dissent, nonconformity. Dissent. The expression or holding of opinions at variance with those previously commonly or officially held, like the Father's laws. Synonyms: disagreement, lack of agreement, difference of opinion, argument, dispute, demur. It's a bad thing to kick against the pricks. It hurts. And when you do these things, you're doing it to yourself. When you rebel, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your body. You're hurting your spirit. Anger does no good for your body. It's like stress. It harms you. It's not good for you. You know, I wanted to speak a little about this dissent that we see today. And when you look at the United States and the government, this democracy, I keep telling you, is imploding and exploding. There is so much dissent, so much division, that it is the ultimate hypocrisy. You see, you can't have a democracy and be the United States of America. You understand? This America is anything but united. Now, the people have a certain unity, but the representatives of the people are anything but united. What's happening in the world is the Jew has divided so many times and divided people and divided all kinds of things that it's funny that they bring these unions together somehow and then they want to break them up. Like they want to break up New York into three parts now, in case you don't know that. But the EU is breaking up. There is no unity really there, except for the Jew. There's no problem in having unity for the Jew. Our representatives in the government are unified about the Jew. There's no question that the gifts that they have been given have swayed them to the point where they will do anything the Jew requires. They cannot do anything for America. They will not do anything for America. There will be no border closings. All the promises Trump promised are lies. And the joke's on you. And he probably made a lot of money selling the Make America Again hats, too. They're probably all chuckling in the background, laughing, thinking like, wow, we really put it to him on this one. The thing is they're so used to winning lately. And they're doing a lot of winning against us. When they win, we lose. And everything is weighed in their favor. All the cheatings, all everything is in their favor. It's all their way at this point. But things are happening. And things are starting to backfire as well. Like the democracy in America, which is supposedly the prime democracy and the example to all other democracies. The people back in the times of the Founding Fathers said that we would not be involved in any other country's business. That we were to stay out of that and just pay attention to our own business, our own country. And if we had done this, the world would not be in the condition it's in. We have no right to go tell Venezuela what to do. We have no right to go into Iraq and tell them what to do. We have no right to go into any country and tell them what to do. Since we had made all these other countries our business, we've not only held them hostage and brought them to slavery, but we've destroyed our own selves. Because you reap what you sow, and what we're reaping in America is what we've sown. Now, we didn't do it, the people, necessarily. It's you know who. But we didn't rebel against them, you know. I suppose there's a time for good rebellion, and there's a time for bad rebellion. And the bad rebellion seems to be all there is now. There's hardly any good rebellion. I don't really know what's going on in France, except chaos. I don't really know. you may think that it's a good thing what's happening, but I don't really know. You know, I don't think anarchy and rebellion is good in any sense in reality. But when you have to, like Thomas Jefferson said, you have to water the tree of liberty, I mean, with blood every so often, that means that you have to stand up. I mean, the Second Amendment is all about not letting a rogue government take control of your nation. And this is the very thing that has happened. It's why I tell you that the federal government is a liability to this nation and the whole world. We don't need this federal government. The world was at a point where it doesn't want war. So this lie about how we need to defend the countries all the time is virtually non-existent. We didn't want, the world didn't want World War I. The world didn't want World War II. The world didn't want Vietnam. The world didn't want any of these things. It's the same characters, the Jews, the devil and his offspring, that have created these wars and caused all these wars and funded them and profited by them in more ways than just money. There was a German poster that talked about, what if there was a war and nobody showed up? Wouldn't that be something? It's an interesting thing when you look at it that the United States is totally in chaos. You've got false flags. You've got Negroes in the street killing people left and right, left and right, left and right. You've got a mixed multitude, which is chaos in itself. You have to understand that multiculturalism means that you've not only hybridized something several times, but it's a mixed mash of garbage. It's chaos. I remember the baseball player, I forget his name, he went into New York and he made comments about it, and of course they came down on him heavy. Nobody wants to live in a mixed multitude, mishmash of garbage like that. Nobody wants to see their culture destroyed. And nobody should be forced to live in somebody else's culture. Isn't it funny how, you know, I've heard this mentioned before, I didn't think of this, but isn't it funny how people, we don't want to live in their countries, but they want to live in ours? And then when they get here, the Jew teaches them how to complain about living in ours and how they're having a hard time, just like the Jew is in our countries. We don't want them here. We don't want the Jews here. And if we never had the Jews here, this would be the United States. It is the divided states. Just remember, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Let me get the Pledge of Allegiance up, because I haven't said it in so long, and I'm just not ready to say it. And you know I've said it before, so I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United... Okay, I'm getting it without it. Hold on. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the flag for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. Are we indivisible? That means undividable. That's the reason why I wanted to do this. Isn't it funny? They talk about the Pledge of Allegiance, but they don't write it down. But I'll tell you a little bit about it while we're here. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in August 1892 by the socialist minister Francis Bellamy, 1855 to 1931. It was originally published in the Youth's Companion on September 8, 1892. Bellamy had hoped the pledge would be used by citizens in any country. I pledge allegiance to the flag. To my flag. This is what it originally said. I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Then it was, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Yeah, I needed a little refreshment in it. We don't say this and we don't hear it enough. You know, we should be saying this all the time. Although it's an oath and we're not supposed to be doing oaths, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there justice for the white man in our country now? No. Are we indivisible? Are we not able to be divided? No, we're divided so many ways, it's so ridiculous. What else does it say here? It says, in 1954, in response to the communist threat of times, President Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words, under God, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The only problem with President Eisenhower is he's a Jew and he is a Falasha Jew. He's got black blood in him. His mother was either half or quadroon. Very interesting, huh? I wonder if he meant his God, the devil. Because America has become the most evil nation in the world. Really, it has. And it's sad that I have to say such a thing because it's not what I desire at all. I love this nation and I want it to be what the Father wants it to be. But there are devils that are standing in the way. And there are traitors that are standing in the way. And the form of government that the Jew, FDR, changed has destroyed our unity, has destroyed our national love, has destroyed our allegiance, has destroyed everything, as they always do. This is my saying, this is what happens when you let Jews into your nation. If you just were to take a glance like I do through the headlines, these people are backbiting, sniping, they're trying to destroy each other publicly. You've got the Congress going against the president. This is all Hegelian dialectic and everything too, but you've got them going against the president, and then the president is pretending he's helping America, but he's only helping Israel, and he's pretending he was going to make all of his promises and adhere to them, but he's not going to, and he never intended to in the first place. No, it's not that he can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's that he never was going to do it and never would, because he's a Jew. And all the last presidents for a long time have been Jews. I don't know about Reagan. I know that Reagan was known as Red Ronnie. I know a lot of people don't want to believe that, but that's the truth. He was a communist. Red Ronnie is what they called him. Now, I don't know if he is Jewish. I can't find any. I haven't really even looked for any proof that he was Jewish, but he certainly was, might as well be. And so all of them have, I don't know about Ford either. Nixon certainly had the nose, no doubt about that. I don't know, though. But it's just been nothing but bad things for the world right now. It's what's interesting to me is every government has shown that they do not want to do the will of the people. This should tell you something about the world. For instance, America did not want gay marriage. We don't want our guns taken away. We don't want these people coming into our country. And all kinds of other things. But never are we obeyed. Never is our will obeyed. Or our Father's will. Over in England, they don't want all that immigration either. And they want to leave the EU. They all voted to leave the EU. But the government says, no, we're going to take a vote again and again and again. They're not going to do the will of the people. Not in any country. And so when do all the people say enough is enough? I don't know when. All I know is we're very patient people. We are the offspring of the Father Yahweh, and he's very patient himself. I may be patient, but I'm not very tolerant when it comes to this stuff. I don't like to tolerate something. I want these Jews out of this country. As a matter of fact, I want the Jews out of all the Israelite countries. And I want them to take their pets with them, their weapons, their two-legged beast of the field weapons with them. Somebody wrote me and they said, oh, it's not the Jews that are doing this, it's the Catholics. It's the Catholics that are bringing the people through the border. Well, this is Mystery Babylon, and it's headed up by a Jew, and many Jews, and the Jesuits are Jews. So, yes, it's being done by the Jews. It's done by Mother Babylon, the Mystery Babylon. The Jews have already admitted that they are responsible for the immigration in Europe and America. We already know who put in the immigration laws. And yes, the Catholic so-called religion, it's an abomination. It is helping out. You see, the Catholic religion works in the brown man's country. So if the brown man comes to America, the Catholics get more religious, and of course, there'll be more money in the pockets of the brown man up here, which means more money into the church. You understand? I mean, you know, follow the money, you know. Ki bono or whatever it is, you know, who profits? Who's the one that profits from it? Well, of course, the Jew will profit from it, but so will Mother Babylon. On my news this week, I used the word poop for the Pope. And I used it several times, and one fellow wrote me, he says, after the 20th time, I guess he was counting how many times I said poop for Pope. He said, I had to shut off your news, and he said that I should use better taste than that. But, you know, I thought of it and I said to myself, geez, I didn't say the SH word or something like that. I mean, it's not like I've done that too many times before or said But when I'm talking about the Pope, I say the word poop, for sure. Because that's what he is, a bag of... You know what I mean? And I had to wonder to myself, I wonder if this fellow's Catholic. These people just don't get it. I don't know if he is or isn't, but if he is, and he was offended because I was talking about the Pope like that, these people just don't get it. Period. They just don't understand this Babylonian institution. And they think it has something to do with the Father in heaven and Jesus. But it doesn't have anything to do with them. And I don't know how much more it's going to take to get through to these Catholics that I'm sorry to inform you that this is an abomination. They changed the commandments of God, Yahweh. They changed his commandment. They took out the second commandment and then split up, I believe it was the ninth, into two. So, and that's just scraping the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg about that. How many things have you heard me talk about? How many things has this poop said? How many things has he said that were in direct rebellion to the Father in heaven? And the priests touching people and children, and the Pope is a child toucher and blood drinker, etc., etc., and he claims Lucifer is God. How much more do you need to hear? Lesbian nuns, queer cardinals, and Freemasonic, laden down with Freemasonry and Jews. How much more do you need to hear before you realize what you're being told? I don't understand why you would be faithful to a religion rather than the Father in heaven. Why would you be faithful to a Babylonian institution that is full of vileness, full of dead men's bones? Even the Vatican has dead children's bones in it. I mean, let's use our brains, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an attack on your beloved religion. It shouldn't be a beloved religion. It's an abomination. It's an atrocity. Anyway, didn't know what I was going to talk about to you, but I certainly found something to speak about. Anyway, I love you and I want the best for you. And may Yahweh richly bless you with his knowledge and wisdom so that you may not perish, but have everlasting life.
The edge of day, engaged in play, I walk the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The semi-sweet, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't.